I'm going to go ahead and open this special meeting of Florida Directors for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. If I can have Mr. Director Charles Trevino lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Everybody place your hand over your heart and pray after me. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chapman, can you take roll call, please?
Director Fellow and Director Chavez are absent. Director Robinson will be joining us in just a moment.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to recess until Director Robinson gets here. Oh, okay. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
Do I have a second? I'll go ahead and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Public comment. I'm going to go ahead and open public comment. Anyone wishing to discuss an item should do so now. Board of Directors may allow additional input during our meeting. A 3-minute time limit. Our remarks is requested. And I have a request. Ms. Irene Flores. Let you go. And Lizette Anjo.
Yes, I'm here representing the VFW Post 2070. I'm sorry. I'm disappointed. What happened is Mr. Torino donated 10 cases of water for our vets for the one to do the memorial, and they also do the color card. So this Saturday we have two of them, from 10 and then to 3 o'clock. And these guys are in outfits, dressed out there with no water or anything. So thanks to Mr. Torino, we really appreciate it. He's not our representative. We're from Monroe and Arcadia. I was wondering who is our representative.
I believe that's Dr. Anthony Fellow.
Well, I appreciate it if he could make an appointment with us and he could meet their board
sure,
and everything.
Take care of that.
I'm sorry they're not here today because they're having a meeting as I'm speaking.
Okay.
And like I said, these gentlemen, they do the color guard and the memorial, and I wanted to know if we could have the color guards come and present the flag to you then.
Oh, that would be quite an honor.
And their behalf of saying thank you.
Shane, if you guys follow up with
we'll arrange it.
Okay.
Make sure to get your contact info for Director Fellow.
We could go through Mr. Trevino because, like I said, I'm just a volunteer. He's the one who has the contact with Mr. Andy. Yeah.
We'll make sure. Shane will follow up on it.
Okay.
And
okay, whatever.
Director, like I said, Director Fellow is a director there, and I just, as a veteran, I felt obligated to help
and
out.
And you understand where we're coming from. We were putting out the water all this time, and when you have to do your 4 memorials, it's really hard.
Yeah,
and the guards are doing it at the same time. We have a lot of the young guys coming in and helping us, and all this is volunteers, so I really appreciate it.
And I, if I may, Mr. President, when my brother passed away, we had the honor guard there. And so I know that it's what these guys do is very, very much appreciated by veterans like myself and my family in particular for what these guys do. So I wanted to be supportive of them.
If anybody needs their services, we're here too. Also, we're wondering on your website, is there any job opportunities? Are the veterans going to be aware of it so they're being the first to apply for those positions? And I'm just kind of wondering about that.
We do have some engagement with a group called Helmets to Hard Hats, but
mm-hmm.
since we don't actually have field crews ourselves, that's the trades particularly where they focus, we've been working with them to get some of the trades involved and made the trades aware of Helmets to Hard Hats. And we do have one gentleman working here now that is an Army veteran, part-time, Steve.
Okay. Helmets to Hard Hats, you said?
Helmets to Hard Hats,
okay.
Very successful program. Used it in my previous career.
Okay,
excellent
program. Let them know and see if they can look into it then. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And thank you so much for everything you do.
Well,
greatly
thank
appreciate
you, Mr. Trevino. The water really does.
All right. Anyone else wishing to speak to have a comment?
I just wanted to say that Ms. Flores is a former school board member for Garvey Unified School District. So she's. Thank you for being here. And that also.
Yeah.
Anyone else wishing to speak during public comment? Seeing no interest, I'm going to go ahead and close public comment. Minutes. Do I have a motion to approve? Minutes. Approved. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye. demands on general fund account?
Yeah, Mr. President, we have total demands on the general fund of $691,174.
Okay, do I have a motion to receive file?
That's actually motion to approve.
Motion to approve?
Motion.
Okay, I'll go ahead and second. All in favor?
I have a question on one of the demands. Demand 16,813 website update. What services did we receive on that? $4,200 website update. What services? What happened to the website?
We haven't completed the work yet. What I've done is engage a website design firm by the name of Notionist that you see here to upgrade the website. We've been struggling with the format and the functionality of the website for some time. The total contract amount here, Evelyn, I believe is $8,400. We'll roll that out to the board as a part of my general manager's report in September to make sure everybody's comfortable with the look.
Any additional questions?
And additionally, I just wanted to vote yes, except for all dissent on 16,800. That's it.
Motion and second with Director Robinson's objections. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any objections? Seeing none, so approved. Financial statement?
Yeah, actual year-to-date net reserve activity for operations is a positive $1.14 million, so that is good news, but you still see the trend here that our sales are significantly less than we budgeted due to the lack of replenishment water from Metropolitan. But we are substantially on budget for all administrative expenses.
Okay, we'll go ahead and receive and file. Action discussion items. Number A, stormwater project overview. Mr. Chapman.
Yeah, we have two information items related to stormwater, and what I propose to begin to work with staff to bring forward to the board, we've been working very hard, as we talked about during the budget, on a long-term plan, the Integrated Resources Plan, the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan. Now we need to move from plans to reality, and we're going to go into some detail in several different areas, conservation, the Water Use Efficiency Master Plan, and the development of those and rollout of those new programs. And stormwater, which we're going to give you a sense for tonight, both in terms of the MS4 permit and five specific projects that we're working on with Watermaster and the Department of Public Works. So I will take us through this presentation. Familiar graph, sort of the basis for our integrated resources plan. In 2035, we see demands of a little over 200,000 acre feet on the basin. We stacked up dry year supplies, came up with a gap or shortage that we'd expect about 1 in 10 years of about 33,000 acre feet. The integrated resources plan is all about how do we most sensibly, economically, efficiently fill that gap. Stormwater has been discussed and actions have been taken in the last several years, but here in this region where we have the very good ground for sinking water, the loose soils, sands, and gravels from San Gabriel Canyon, and a lot of gravel mining operations over time, there's a great deal of opportunity, particularly along the river corridor here outlined by the yellow circle, for centralized, large-scale stormwater capture projects. And what we're talking about here is helping County Public Works Flood Control add capacity to their existing system. More on the IRP. On the right, you see a pie chart that represents for us what would the mix of resources be if we did nothing going out into the future. And that tells us that we estimate by 2035 we would have about a 33% dependence on imported water, up from about 20% today. We don't want to be in that business given the instability in the imported water system. And so working with the board and the stakeholders, a process you're familiar with now for about the last 8 months, we came up with this diverse resource mix. And you see there, highlighted in the bright yellow slice, a sliver for stormwater, about 5,000 acre feet per year. Just throwing up our consumer reports charts here. Again, highlighted in yellow, both centralized stormwater and decentralized stormwater. Summary of the IRP options. And you see that from just sort of a subjective standpoint, they score rather well in that centralized stormwater does help with the drought mitigation, somewhat resilient with climate change, improves the basin water quality, Unfortunately, it doesn't help us with the 20 by 2020 goal, but that's where conservation and recycling kick in. It is flexible in that once you make the upfront capital investments, they're relatively modest. So if you don't have water in a dry year, it really doesn't hurt the balance sheet that bad. And interestingly, it does have TMDL benefits, total maximum daily load. It can help reduce the pollutants going to the ocean. Similarly, decentralized stormwater scored rather well by the stakeholders also.
Yeah, question. Is that based on, I can't remember, the two preferred options were options?
Option 5 and 6.
5 and 6?
Yes.
So, how do you interleave the option 5 and 6 presentation with this graph? Are you going to get to that later?
No, I was just going to focus on stormwater, where you see some linkage to option 5 and 6 is groundwater recharge of recycled water. Scores very well across the top there, the bright green dots, the first four columns. We don't get into the particular issue of the level of treatment associated with the recycled water in this chart. Anyway.
Okay.
Somewhat busy chart. Apologize for the small font here, but it gives you a sense of, at a very high level, the county system. The black line, a third of the way up on the bottom of the page, delineating Whittier Narrows between the main basin and the central basin. You see a figure there for Whittier Narrows Dam, and anything past that really, there's capture in Montebello Forebay, but anything past that is going to the ocean. The Rio Hondo bypass, the Whittier Narrows flood control channel, I'm sort of working my way up on this chart. A series of rubber dams that the county operates quite successfully on the main stem of the San Gabriel, just above San Jose Channel there. And Walnut Creek that comes in, Little Dalton and Big Dalton feeding into that. The red is what is we want to pay attention to here. The red denotes capacity infrastructure that the County Flood District has wanted to add for some time to its system, along with the Water Master. And as proven up in the IRP, this makes all the sense in the world, so we'll be partnering with Public Works and Water Master to see these projects through. United Rock Pit is a pit that's no longer in service that's right next to Buena Vista Spreading Basin. And we'll go into a bit about the concept there. Miller Pit over on the right, we're familiar with some of the work we started to do at Miller Coors. There are two large pits right there. Questions?
Okay. The red pits there, where are they located? What city are they located in?
Miller Pit is in Irwindale. United Rock is in Azusa. I think it's on the south end of Azusa there.
Yeah.
Olive Pit is also Irwindale. Walnut Creek is West Covina. Is that right?
I think it's Irwindale.
Is it still Irwindale?
It's right on Grand there. That would be
either Covina or West Covina. Okay. Might be Covina. So those two, Miller Pit and Olive Pit, are in Irwindale.
Yes.
And right now the county flood control is working with Irwindale to kind of negotiate something with the city of Irwindale. Is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
Right. Okay.
Specific to Olive Pit.
Okay.
Again, a lot of detail here, but purpose here is to illustrate the work that was done to underpin the IRP. By that, I mean to say we didn't just take a wild guess at 5,000 acre feet a year. We looked at daily flows, actual historical daily flows within county flood control system, and examined what volume was going past Montebello Forebay out to the ocean each day historically. We then took that volume and through what's called a mass balance modeling process, back that water up into these five projects based on the amount of usable water and the capacity of each project to percolate that water. We were then able to estimate on a daily basis the additional amount of stormwater capture that would be available if history repeated itself from a hydrologic standpoint. And that, on average, yields 5,000 acre feet a year.
So this is just a flow chart of how that logic generally works in that model. A lot of work went into that, a very good job, Stetson, CDM Smith, and peer-reviewed by Watermaster, shared with Watermaster's Basin Water Management Committee, Ad Hoc Committee on Stormwater. So a lot of buy-in, and reviewed also by Public Works. This graph illustrates the flows, unused surface flow. This is water going out to the ocean. Bit of a trick here, this is a logarithmic scale. You'll notice on the vertical axis it reads 100 to 1 million, but they're all in the same increment. So that's necessary because there's so much variability, and it helps you to understand. You can see like in 1969, 1983, 1995, those very wet El Nino years, very, very high flows on the river that go out to the ocean. Flows at such a volume that you couldn't possibly build enough physical capacity to capture all of it. But we can add some capacity to the county system and grab some of that flow. And that's what the centralized stormwater capture game is all about. There's about 15,000 acre-feet a year in a median year that doesn't make it back into the groundwater basins. I do have to say the county does a fantastic job given their all the challenges they have to manage, and they capture on average 92% or more on the San Gabriel River watershed. Very well-designed system today. More analytical data, not to get into too much detail here, but again, my point is to illustrate that models were estimated to come up with that number of 5,000 acre-feet a year. That is our goal for the integrated resources plan. Some statistical analysis on the left, and again, you see the variability of what can be captured just with three pits, Peck Pit, Buena Vista, and Walnut. Looking in the middle of that chart, that big green spike is 1983. That chart's telling us if Peck Pit were incorporated into the county system today and operated such that it could move water back into the main stem of the San Gabriel, in a repeat of a 1983 condition, you could capture an additional 50,000 acre-feet and put that into the main basin. That's a lot of water. That's more than the average replacement water demand on Upper District in a single year. Starting to look at what will be a little more familiar now, Walnut Spreading Basin. When you see red in these Google snapshots, that's where there's proposed additional facilities. The concept here very generally with Walnut is the county can currently take water off of the system on the Walnut Creek system and the Dalton system and put that into Walnut Spreading Basin. Depending on how the weather is going, what we would like to do is be able to reverse those flows and bring that water back into the county's Walnut Creek channel and send it further downstream and sink it downstream. There's a limited space there you can see to sink water. It's completely built out around Walnut Spreading Basin. But if we can put that water in, set it aside, put it on the shelf for a while, if you will, and then bring it back into the system when the system is dried out, we can really increase the utility of Walnut Spreading Basin working in the county. Buena Vista Spreading Basin is delineated here next to United Rock Pit, just to the south of the pit there. And the area on the lower right hand that's open, that's the spillway area for Santa Fe Dam, just below City of Hope in that area. And so the concept here is to take water off of the Buena Vista channel. It's going into the Buena Vista Spreading Basin there, highlighted in the white, and then go from Buena Vista Spreading Basin into United Rock Pit. Basically decant the water in the Spreading Basin, clean it up, and then put it into the pit. Very simple, inexpensive. It's a pipe and a short distance of it. Peck Spreading Basin on the upper left, next to the Livingston Graham Pit there, and that is Peck Avenue in the yellow coming up through El Monte. And as you're going north on Peck, Peck Pit is on your left. And the concept here, Buena Vista Channel comes into Peck Pit, and then that really forms the headwater of the Rio Hondo system. If it leaves Peck Pit, it's going down a hard-line channel into the Montebello Forebay in the Central Basin. And this is very attractive to the county from an operational standpoint in that if Montebello Forebay is at capacity and they can't sink any more water,
and Peck Pit fills than they spill to the ocean. But we are right next to the main stem of the San Gabriel Channel, which is almost always dry, save for some stormwater system runoff, even in a heavy storm, because the San Gabriel is being captured behind Morris, San Gabriel Dam, Cogswell Dam up in the canyon. So the red line here delineates a pipeline and conceptually a pump station that would be, or pumps that would be in Peck Pit. So just before you crest and start to flow down the Rio Hondo Channel, the county would turn those pumps on, draw Peck Pit down, and send that water over into the main channel where it percolates, would go into the basin rather than being lost. And that's very attractive to them because it's a lever you can throw, a switch you can throw, and you can regulate your system. Excuse me. Miller Pit, you're looking at the 605 freeway there, crossing the river, and in the upper left-hand corner, those are the rubber dams for those that have been on that part of our upper area water supply solutions tour. The rubber dam is operated, it's a big rubber tube, I think of a bicycle tire, and it's filled with air, it's a pneumatic tube, and that serves to divert the water into the diversion structure, which is just to the left of that rubber dam under the freeway on the 605 there where you see the river. And in this particular picture, the dam is down and water is flowing down into Santa Fe Dam, which would be down in the lower left. When that dam is inflated, it goes into the diversion structures and then goes into the Santa Fe spreading basins. We would employ the same concept here, build a diversion structure on the right-hand side of that rubber dam located in the upper left. And you see that white line coming down to the pit, kind of in the middle on the lower right. That's the Miller Pit, the West Pit. And that pit needs some grading improvements. There's some mining that can yet be done in that pit. And then out of the picture here, further to the right, is another pit that will be potentially a sediment placement site. So with a relatively straightforward design and construction of another diversion structure and a short stick of pipe there, you can get water into Miller Pit. Things the county's wanted to do for a long time, but they have a lot of priorities with sediment management, a lot of other priorities in their system, but with our support and the support of Water Master, I'm confident we can move this ball downfield. Olive Pit, they're in Irwindale. You can see the channel there in the lower right, very close to the channel. Olive Pit is attractive for a lot of different reasons. One, it's huge. You put an awful lot of water in it very quickly, and you can put not just stormwater into it as the system's filling up. You can put imported water into it from one of Central Basin's connections up in San Dimas Canyon. So we could then operate the imported water system. When Morris Dam is having releases up in San Gabriel Canyon, we currently have to shut our connection off. Here, if we had somewhere like Olive Pit to put that water out of the imported water system, we could take that water at the same time they're doing releases from Morris Dam. Adds a lot of operational flexibility. Big project. It's also a prime sediment placement site that the county is, as you mentioned, eyeing for their sediment management strategy. But their concept includes stormwater capture long term. When we model this, what does it do for us? Again, we backed up daily flows into the system with the known values from Stetson on what these various projects could do for us. And it's highly volatile, up to over 17,000 acre feet in some years, a repeat of 1983. And then you see those wet years spiking it there through. The average of this over the long term is 5,000 acre feet a year. So a good sixth or more of the current replacement water demand on Ledford District. Great benefit for the basin. So we can do all projects longer term. That's the vision. Do one or two, depending on some combination that the county's supportive of. Only add the new basins. And this is the conversation that we're working with Water Master, starting with the county now. What do you guys want to do first, and how do you want to deliver these projects? There's the individual average yields and the total among the projects, ranging from a little over 300 acre feet at Buena Vista to Miller Pit, and all of the combination of that is over 3,300.
acre feet.
Yeah. Going back to that previous slide, it looks like, what do you want to do first? I probably want to do first the Miller Pit and the 1911.
Success breeds success. Miller Pit is a pretty easy one to go get. Miller's proving to be a very willing partner, easy to work with, can move quickly.
But can the county prioritize and give us those higher bars first?
Well, it's going to committing to funding it and committing their resources to it is where the conversation is going to go. I wish I could answer that question right now, but we've engaged them on that.
Is the Army Corps of Engineers involved in which one of these projects?
Possibly Miller Pit, in that the South Pit is a sediment placement site for the material behind Santa Fe. In September, we're going to bring back a whole focus presentation on Santa Fe Dam. That's an entity unto itself. Two general types, centralized stormwater, which we just reviewed, meaning larger scale projects. We're looking at economies of scale, capturing large volumes of water. But it does not mean that we don't recognize the benefits of decentralized stormwater capture. Again, some fairly robust modeling work done here to underpin the IRP. Spatially, geographically, we're just showing here within upper district service area that in the hatched areas, that's the part of the watershed that we cover that would be most economical to capture the additional stormwater using the centralized facilities. In the unhatched area delineated in red, see some of the county's sub-watersheds, that's where we would roll out a decentralized stormwater capture program that would make the most sense both from a TMDL standpoint and also a stormwater capture standpoint. And the most promising programs we would put together are single-family residential bioretention, so bioswales in single-family residences between the sidewalk and the house, as an example. Single-family residential rain barrels, pretty promising. We have a very dense single-family housing population, and then commercial cisterns. A snapshot, a lot of detail here, but again, just underpin a lot of work was done to support the IRP. This is based on a study done by Council for Watershed Health and U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, and there's a pretty rigorous process and a set of formulas that have been proven out to estimate the yield of the decentralized stormwater captures. So you have a diffuse program that gets rolled out to the individual consumer. How do you know what you got for it? Similar to our toilet retrofit or high-efficiency clothes washers, a lot of work has been done to identify soil types that are favorable to single-family or decentralized and what type of a yield you could get out of this. So the bioretention, single-family residential, is pretty promising, almost 2,400 acre-feet a year on average. Rain barrels, we could do something with that, and there's certain market saturation rates, 35%, fairly conservative, or 30% really, implementation rate, conservatively low, pretty high rate for cisterns. Don't get a lot of acre feet out of the cisterns, but at least we would have a presence with the commercial entities. Probably the most important chart, and a per piece of art by me, I'll take both credit and blame for it. This is going to be a process. We have to recognize that it is not our system that we want to add capacity to. It is the county system. And they have processes and staff and a governance structure that we have to respect, and we have to work with them and support that. And it will perhaps seem slow at times, but they are invested and committed and anxious to move forward. But as I mentioned, they have a lot of priorities and a lot of challenges in their system, and they have to prioritize their resources. Our role now as we move from planning into implementation is to support them, understand how we can lend resources to them and still respect their processes. But they're the big presence here. Couple that with the Army Corps at Santa Fe Dam, and our relationship with the Water Master, and just a lot of work has to go into coordination and planning and encouraging people to
really work outside the box. This will be a different project delivery model.
That concludes item 8A.
Any questions, directors?
Yes, one more question. This right at the beginning, when you estimate a shortage of 33,000 acre feet, implies a population growth of, in the next 10 years, of maybe 130,000, 140,000 people. I was just wondering how that number 33,000 shortage was arrived at.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I don't recall the population figures. We'll certainly chase that down for you. The basic process is to use demographics and both population, housing, mix of housing, income, jobs, and use those factors to estimate how much water you're going to need in the future. And then stack up against that known existing dry year supplies.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty much assumed, I don't know correctly or incorrectly, that San Gabriel Valley's kind of built out. So yeah,
it was very modest population growth, and it comes from Southern California Association of Governments from their transportation planning models.
Okay.
Consistent with the city's general plans.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, go ahead and make the action discussion item number 8, MS floor permit.
Okay. In the same vein as doing some robust technical work to underpin the assumptions about stormwater capture in the Integrated Resources Plan, we also recognized, fortunately early enough along, that we had to be part of the conversation on the MS4 stormwater permit. And this is a process that started about 6-8 months ago. At that time, we retained Mr. Adan Ortega, who's with us this evening, an expert in this area, both technically and also with his relationships with the various stakeholders involved. What we're looking at here is the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. The S4 is Separate Storm Sewer System Permit. This covers cities, flood control districts, sanitation agencies, and water districts. In L.A. County, County Public Works Flood Control has been the general permittee, and all of the cities and the water districts have floated under the county's umbrella permit. The county was sued by Baykeepers and NRDC on TMDL, total maximum daily loads, a statistical measurement of the pollutants in the stormwater exceedances. And that sparked the county to not renew the permit and basically walk away from being the permittee, leaving the cities, 84 in LA County and 17 in our service area, to develop their own relationship with the Regional Water Quality Board and seek their own permit. They organized under water management areas, and in my view, in a very short period, have done an incredible job, particularly the 17 cities in the San Gabriel Valley, representing themselves to the regional board as permittees and advocating for themselves very well. This permit is expected for approval in September. The draft language is out. Drinking water was important, referred to as community water systems, and there are a lot of operations that water systems, whether it be San Gabriel Valley or even the WQA working with the various operators of the Superfund, the operable units, have to do to maintain the system, and those operations require discharges into the stormwater system. You're required by Department of Health Services to flush the system on a pretty routine basis. That water goes into the stormwater system. We're required to discharge certain waters from the operable units. It goes into the stormwater system. Fire hydrant maintenance, even firefighting, goes into the stormwater system. One of the big successes that we were able to achieve working with Adan and the regional board staff and the various stakeholders was to educate them and get them to recognize community water system operations and certainly not provide a safe harbor, meaning anything can go in. Monitoring will have to take place by the community water systems,
But there is recognition in the draft permit language that these types of operations are essential to the public and must continue unabated. So that's a success. We also were successful in getting the regional board staff and the draft permit to recognize the benefit of the centralized stormwater projects. Early on, there was the potential that such projects would not be favorably looked upon by the permit language or the regional board staff, and our goal was to make sure that we maintained very flexible language in the permit, such that a project like Peck Pit could have multiple benefits, stormwater capture and large-scale TMDL remediation. Very economical for the cities to centralize that stormwater capture and TMDL remediation rather than trying to do it individually in each city for certain pollutants. The board staff reacted favorably to that, and we have been invited to provide a briefing along with Watermaster on where we're headed with our overall stormwater capture strategy.
And one of the milestones that you indicated here, which perhaps we can ask Adana or if you want to take this on, is that stormwater as a groundwater replenishment source is of equal importance as on-site retention. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, there was a preference, and there is a preference by some in the environmental community for the decentralized stormwater capture. And that preference was potentially driving draft permit language that would not recognize centralized stormwater capture, which is far more economical for the water agencies to pursue from a groundwater recharge standpoint, $300 to $400 an acre foot water, compared to up to $8,000-$9,000 an acre foot for decentralized stormwater capture. The decentralized stormwater has a higher benefit on the TMDL remediation in distributed areas where you can't do that remediation through a centralized project. So parts of Arcadia, South Pasadena would benefit from a decentralized program. It would help remove a lot of those pollutants from the streets.
So that's basically the milestone that we hit here.
Yeah, that's what that says, is that we got equal treatment.
Have those two cities provided input on this particular part of the milestone?
Arcadia and South Pasadena are part of the LA Permit Group, and they have been involved.
Okay.
Very active. And wrapping up here, moving forward, the role for us to play here is to work with flood control, the Corps, maximize the central stormwater capture, obviously. And we have a very unique progressive judgment, and we can potentially work with the Water Master and the producers to create incentives at the right level that they're willing to participate in for the decentralized stormwater capture and actually monetize that stream of water coming back into the basin. An idea that needs a lot of development, but there's the potential is certainly there. And we'll continue to comment on the permit language and work to reduce any potential conflict and confusion among the different stakeholders. I have to thank Adani. He's just done an outstanding job. This could have been a real mess for us.
Any questions, Director?
So in putting this all together, did Adon work with the city engineers, or, I mean, which departments in the various cities were we collaborating with? Cities equally interested, the 17 cities do they all have equal TMDL problems?
Right now ongoing work to identify TMDL hotspots that under the permit, as Shane has illustrated, would be allowed strategies within each watershed management area to strategize and figure out how to treat. The work that I did on the community water systems, for example, was formerly named the MPDES Working Group that was led by the City of Pasadena, a gentleman by the name of Dr. David Kimbrough. who's an expert in a lot of water quality issues. And the role that I played was to facilitate interaction with the regional board in order to put on the table some of the issues that were being brought to the cities by the health department, for example, which recognizes that these community water systems have to discharge into storm drains and into sewer systems in order to properly maintain their systems. That was, it involved many meetings, and it involved a lot of workshops, as well as individual meetings with the regional board. On a broader basis, I've kept in touch with Marianne Lutz and members of the what's called the LA Permit Group, which is a group of cities throughout the county, as Shane indicated, over 80 cities that are involved in that effort, to try to come up with a way to have a permit that is practical under a situation where there's no umbrella permit with the county.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's sort of the top-down approach. I was wondering about the bottom-up. Without mentioning any names, are there some of the 17 cities in the San Gabriel Valley that just weren't interested?
They're all interested. And one of the dynamics you have to account for, and this is an interesting dynamic, and I'm glad you brought it up, is that in some cities, for example, you have a certain part of the city organization that deals with stormwater, for example, with the community water system in Monrovia, for example, or in Arcadia, where you might have a private investor-owned utility. And then you have the Public Works Department that's preoccupied with compliance with the MS4 permit. In many respects, part of the exercise has been to bring these two entities together, just like in any environment, so that there's a full weighing and understanding of how, for example, an MS4 permit can affect a community water system or an investor-owned utility or a fire department. And they were all involved in this process.
Thank you, Mr. Ortega. Go ahead and move on. Item 9. I don't want to work volition to remove anything from the consent calendar. Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any objections? Seeing none, so moved. Information items are available in our packets, in fact. Attorney's report.
Just a brief report, Mr. Chair. It's an update on the Metropolitan versus, on the San Diego versus Metropolitan case. A hearing was had on July 2nd on the demur of a motion to strike filed by Metropolitan and member agencies. The demur was denied, but the motion to strike was granted in part in the sense that the court is inclined to dismiss from the case and not to allow discovery in all the different allegations about the secret society and the shadow government and all the kind of third-party activity that has been alleged in the complaint. Also, San Diego has filed a second action that was filed on June 8th, challenging the 2013-2014 rate structure. Very similar to the first complaint, although it lacks the allegations concerning the RSI clause and the preferential rights. So we're continuing to see a lot of activity in that case. Metropolitan's counsel is doing a good job, but it is a big piece of litigation. That concludes my report.
Any questions? Okay. We'll go ahead and move on to engineer's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not a lot new going on. This is just another update of some of the hydrologic conditions in the basin. As of June 22nd, the PWA was 221.0. Some of this is also in the general manager report, as I noticed in the report. We're about 13 feet lower than we were the same time a year ago, so it represents a little over 100,000 acre feet that we mined out of the basin over the last year. Surface storage up in the canyon, about 30% of capacity, about 24,000 acre feet total storage up in the canyon. Inflow still about 25 CFS coming into San Gabriel, so it's dropped off a lot. As you expect, with the weather we're getting right now, it's going to drop off a lot more. It's getting pretty dry up in the canyon. Certainly no import of water deliveries going on. End of the fiscal year, rainfall in the San Gabriel Valley is about 64% of average. Downtown Valley is about 58% of average, so it's been a dry year. We did do the Title 22 sampling of water quality for the wells in the basin. During June, a total of 32 wells were sampled, and during May, 61 wells were sampled. We did not receive any notices of well shutdown in the water quality, public notices. That's all I have.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. General Manager's report.
Yeah, you have my written report. I'll just highlight a couple of items on the recycled waterfront. Happy to report that finally, due to the good work of our consultants and Mr. Trejo, we did have a successful startup of a fairly complex system that was coordinated by Upper District with Roland Water District, who operates it for a city of industry. Their staff was involved, of course, in the suburban water system. So we are running under pressure recycled water through package 1A, 1B, 2. Great success. That also triggered, of course, the conversation with the City of Industry about the payment of $6.4 million for purchasing capacity in their trunk line, as well as paying them for the section of pipe that we have been so struggling but now operating. And we were able to, in principle, negotiate with the city a reduction in the payment to them of $411,000. So that worked out pretty well, and that more than offsets our effort in getting the pipe they built for us functioning. So that was good. We do have some potential changes, as is the nature of this business, that were not put before us when the design package was reviewed by the city and our partner, Suburban Water Systems. The City of West Covina is asking for rubberized pavement. That costs more than regular pavement. We're yet to really sit down and have that conversation with them. And Suburban is also asking for using a different mechanical type coupling where the pipe is actually stabbed together. So Raimundo is working on those issues. We're going to have a meeting on Monday, sort through all of that, and take a look at those numbers. Just a heads up. We have, all in the vein of implementation, had a very good in-depth scoping meeting with Discovery Science Center that's pulling together the detail of our new education program. And we are also working on marrying them together with a group that has a very large and expanding presence in the LA County and San Gabriel Valley in particular. They're in Bassett, they're in Duarte, El Monte, South El Monte. It's a nonprofit called Think Together that provides after-school instruction. And we're reaching out to them to partner with Discovery Science Center because that greatly expands our footprint and our presence and, frankly, the probability of being able to reach those kids. The teachers are just taxed these days. They're having a shorter and shorter school year and being asked to cram more and more into it. Us getting in and saying, will you please teach the kids this, may be a bit of a challenge, so we're bringing in Think Together. I had a meeting with them this morning that went very well. Raimundo gave an excellent presentation that was well received to a new group, Project Lead the Way at South El Monte High School. The Solar Boat winners were part of that project, so that went well. We have started, yet again, discussion on Metropolitan's rate structure. At the end of June, there's a series of meetings scheduled out through the fall that I'll be attending. And as you all saw, AB 1422 Perea was considered and approved by the legislature and signed by the governor yesterday. That defers the water bond to 2014. Attached to my report is a very helpful letter from Congresswoman Judy Chu encouraging the Army Corps, Ms. Joellen Darcy, the Secretary for Civil Works, to partner with us in the Water Master and Public Works at Santa Fe Dam. Judgment amendments were approved in their entirety on the 21st, and Water Master unanimously reinstated Rule 27. So, a couple of highlights there.
Any questions for our
Could you refresh my memory on Rule 27?
Absolutely. Very generally, Rule 27, Steve, save me when I get in trouble here, governs the accounting of the replacement water between the Upper District and San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District. So, where does that water come from? When it's overproduced in our respective service areas. And it gets to the issue of cities that belong to San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District leasing their water rights to producers in Upper District service area. And instead of pumping their water rights, they take water out of San Gabriel Valley's cyclic storage account. So this has an overlay with Metropolitan Water District. It's a very generally a service territory issue.
So we're working through that, and the Basin Water Management Committee has taken that up. Reinstating the rule is favorable to upper district sales, but at the same time, we do not ever want to see the Four Cities District allocation from the State Water Project go unused.
I can be taught.
Okay. Yeah. Metropolitan report,
Mr. Millard.
There's
detailed report. Any quick highlights?
No, just the resident report. And Shane's got the one on the delay of the bond until
2 years. Thank you. Debbie Kaway report. I believe our written report is available on our packet. Watermaster report. Dr. Trevino.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Watermaster report is available to the public, and also it's in our director's book here, our board book. But two things are, I think, that came out of the administrative committee, which are, I think, need to just be talked about or just at least mentioned again. They authorized the expenditure of $190,000 for a makeup fund to pay PERS, pay off PERS, the site fund. So some monies that were pending out there that allow us to be able to get better rates in terms of this paying off this loan. Actually, not a loan. It's the PERS fund balance that we were short of at a savings of 7%, a little bit over 7%. The other thing I think is important is the authorization to pre-purchase 10,000 acre-feet of water, Tier 1 water from Upper District. The fact that that we were able to do that and allows them to be able to have that water, but also allows Upper District to be able to better manage their cash flow in terms of how much water we'll sell.
All right. That's important. Thank you, George. Any questions? Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move on to Director's comments. Director Robinson?
No comment. I just have a future agenda.
Okay. Director Trevino? Okay. I'd just like to recognize Bassett School Board Member Paul Solano, and also Valley County Water District Board Members Mariana Lake and Lourdes Pacheco. Thank you for being here. I have no additional comments.
I was remiss, it's not reflected in my report, but just before the board meeting, I haven't had time to discuss this with council yet, we did receive, I'm reading it now, a pretty extensive Public Records Act request that we'll, of course, be complying with to the extent that we have the records here at Upper District. It relates to director travel, expenses, salary and benefits, et cetera. And again, I haven't had the opportunity to review it in any detail with Steve yet.
Who is the request?
It's from a gentleman by the name of Jordan Gomez. An email I received this afternoon.
Do we know for more?
I don't. I haven't had it any time.
That's for which directors? Or?
All directors in reading this.
Here we go.
I will go over this with Steve and send this out.
Okay. Thank you. Future agenda items, Mr. Ross?
Yeah, the comment earlier in the meeting about our water sales and lack thereof, could we have a discussion on that and how it's going to impact our budget sometime in the next couple months?
Absolutely. Do we have a closed session?
We do, Mr. Chair, under Government Code Section 54956.9, discuss one item of potential litigation.
Okay.
Sure.
We'll go ahead and resume from our closed session.
Yes, Mr. Chair, the board met pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 to discuss one item of potential litigation. No formal action was taken by the board in that regard. That concludes my closed session report.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
I'll second. Director.